Good morning. Today's daf is Baba Kama, daf Mem Tes. We left off on Mem Ches and Mebeis, the Mishnah, four lines up from the bottom. Today's shiur focuses exclusively on the concept of Dmei Vlados, on the concept of reimbursing. Let's say if a shor, or if a person causes damage to a woman who's pregnant and causes the woman to miscarry, then what sort of payment does one owe in consideration for the miscarriage? We'll see a distinction between a concept of Dmei Vlados versus Shvach Vlados, with Dmei Vlados being the value of the Vlad, Shvach Vlados being the value of the woman on account of the enhancement to the value of the woman on account of the fact that she's pregnant and carrying a baby, and the difference between her value as pregnant and her value after the miscarriage is caused. And we'll see what happens to whom the Dmei Vlados payment is owed. We'll see it's to the husband. What happens if there is no husband? What happens? Does it then go to the husband's yarshim? What happens if it's a person who doesn't have any yarshim? Who gets the Dmei Vlados then? So we're going to talk today exclusively about Dmei Vlados and Shvach Vlados. So says the Mishnah on the bottom of Mem Ches Amud Beis. Shor Shohaya Miskavin Lechavero. If a shor intends to gore somebody else, Vehika Seisha, and instead it gores a woman, V'yatsu Yiladeha, and it causes a miscarriage, Pater Midmei Vlados, then a shor is going to be Pater Midmei Vlados. So V'adam Shayim Miskavin Lechavero. However, if a person intended to strike his friend, V'hika Seisha, and instead he hits a woman, V'yatsu Yiladeha, and he causes her to miscarry, then Mishalim Dmei Vlados. So a person pays Dmei Vlados. A shor, if it intends to gore someone else and gores instead the woman, does not pay Dmei Vlados. So Ketza Mishalim Dmei Vlados. We're going to clarify that a shor never pays Dmei Vlados, but we'll get to that in the Gemara. So Ketza Mishalim Dmei Vlados. How is the Dmei Vlados payment calculated? How does one pay Dmei Vlados? So Shomen Es Aisha Kama Hiyafa Adshala Yolda V'Kama Hiyafa Misha Yolda. So we'll assess the value of the woman. We'll assess the value of the woman when she was pregnant versus the value of the woman after her miscarriage. And that difference is Dmei Vlados. That difference is attributable to the fact that she was pregnant. Rashi says that, and the key here is that this is less, the differential in the value of the woman is going to be less than the value of the Vlad itself, were we to value the Vlad on a standalone basis. So we're going to see again more about this in the Gemara. So Amar Rab Shimon ben Gamliel, so says Rab Shimon ben Gamliel, Im Kain, Mea Isha Yoledes Meshabachas, that how could it be that we assess the value of the woman when she's pregnant and the value of the woman after she gives birth, assuming that she's worth more pregnant than after the miscarriage, and we say that differential is the Dmei Vlados payment, but we see that a woman, actually, her value is enhanced after she gives birth. She's worth more after she gives birth than she is when she's pregnant. We'll see why this is the case in the Gemara as well, but generally speaking, we need to remember that when we assess the value of people, we discussed this already a couple of weeks ago, when we assess the value of people, what it means is that we assess how much somebody would pay for their services as a slave or as a maidservant. And therefore, if the woman is pregnant, you could see why a person might pay less for that woman as a pregnant maidservant, because she's capable physically of performing fewer activities because she's in danger, she's pregnant. And says Rav Shimon Gamliel, what do you mean you assessed her value when she's pregnant and her value after she gives birth? She's worth more after she gives birth. Elamai, according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, what's the Dmei Vlados? Ela Shomen Es Avlados Kamein Yafin Venosin Labal. So Rav Shimon Gamliel says that no, you do in fact assess the value of the Vlados themselves on a standalone basis, and you give that payment to the husband. Now, what if there is no husband? V'mein labal nosin liyarshav. And if there is no husband, then you give it to yarshim of the husband. Haisa shifcha v'nishtachra ogiores. If she was a shifcha who was freed or a giores, then potter made Dmei Vlados. Then she's going to be anybody who causes damage, who causes a miscarriage, is going to be Potter made Dmei Vlados. There's a long Rashi over here. Rashi explains that the Mishnah is a little bit misleading here. From the Mishnah, it seems that you have free rein to, if you see a pregnant shivcha, if you see a gioress, God forbid, if you see a gioress, God forbid, to go over to her and to cause her a miscarriage, and then you're potter mid dvei vlado. So Rashi says, what in the world is going on here? How can that be? So Rashi says, no, what we're talking about is a case where she's a shivcha shenishtachra, she was a shivcha who was emancipated, or she's a gioress who was married to a ger, or who was married to an eved shenishtachrer. The husband dies, and the husband dies without leaving any yarshim. Why does a husband die without leaving any yarshim? Because by a ger shemes ain lo yarshim. Why? Because assuming that he had no kids after he was misgayer. Because when a ger is misgayer, he's like a katan shenolad. We take that literally. We say that it's as if he has no relationship with his next of kin, and therefore there are no yarshim. What did we say just previously in the Mishnah? We had said that the payment of Dmei Vlados goes to the husband. If there is no husband, it goes to the yarshim. What if you have a husband who's not around and who no longer and so he's no longer around and he also doesn't have yarshim? How can a person not have yarshim? Everybody has some sort of far flung yoresh, even if it's not a direct yoresh. No, a case of a ger, or a case of a freed slave, they have no yarshim. So in that case, there is nobody to make the Dmei Vlados payment to. Says Rashi, that's the interpretation of this line in the Mishnah. That's why you're putter. It's not that you have license to go causing miscarriages to these people. It's that if they're married to similar people, of men of similar stature, those men die. They don't leave any yarshim. Therefore, your potter made Dmei Vlados, because you only paid Dmei Vlados to the Baal or to the Baal's Yarshim. Okay, so says the Gemara like this, focusing on the first thing that we learned in the Mishnah. So says the Gemara, Taima de Miskavim le Chavero, from the way you introduced the first case of the Mishnah, it says that if the Shar was pursuing somebody else, and instead gores a woman and causes a miscarriage, then the Shar is potter made Dmei Vlados. The Baal HaShar is potter made Dmei Vlados. So the inference is that it's only because the shor intended to gore somebody else and not the woman. Hamiskavin leisha mishalim dmei vlados. However, if the shor intended to gore the woman, the mashmos is, the implication is that the bala shor would be chayiv to pay dmei vlados. Leimatave tufta dravada barahava. So let's say this is a kasha on ravada barahava. The yama ravada barahava shvarim sheniskavnu leisha pturim dmei vlados. The Ravada Barahava says that a shor, even if it is miskaving to gore a woman, it's potter from paying Dmei Vlados. So Ravada Barahava, so says Ravada Barahava, no, it's not a kashami. It would also be the case that even if the shor intended to gore the woman, then the Baal HaShor would be potter from paying Dmei Vlados. In that case, why do we set up the Reisha and the Mishnah when we talk about the Ptur of the Baal HaShor from paying Dmei Vlados? Why do we talk about a case where the Shor intended to gore somebody else and mistakenly gore the woman? Since in the second case of the Mishnah, when we talk about the chiyav of a person to pay Dmei Vlados, we talk about that chiyav in the context of a guy who intended to strike another person, but instead strikes the woman. Dahachi ksiv ikra, because that's the pasuk that's written in the Torah about Dmei Vlados. It says, v'chi inosu anoshim, when two men are fighting, v'nogfu isha hara v'yasu yeladeh. So it's like two men are involved in a fist fight. A woman is a bystander, and a person takes a wild swing. Instead of connecting with his friend, he connects with a woman. That's the case that the pasuk is talking about, and in the context of which the Torah says that a man is chayiv to pay Dmei Vlados if he causes a miscarriage. So Ktani Reisha Nami Shershai Miskavin Lechavero. Therefore, in the Reisha, when we talk about a shor, we talk about the parallel case of a shor that intended to gore somebody else and instead gores a woman and causes a miscarriage. However, Lahalacha, it would be the case that the Baal HaShor is potter made Dmei Vlados, even if the shor intended to gore the woman and in fact caused the miscarriage, because the bottom line is, a shor is always potter in the Dmei Vlados payment, a man is chayiv in the Dmei Vlados payment. So Amar Rapapa, so says Rapapa, shor shenogach es ha-shifcha, if a shor gores a shifcha, maidservant, v'yotze li'yaladeh, and causes a miscarriage, mishalem Dmei Vlados. So then he has to pay Dmei Vlados. So this is perplexing, because Rapapa is saying that even though we had just previously said that a shor is always potter in Dmei Vlados, what we're saying now is that if the shor gores a shivcha and causes a miscarriage, then he's going to be chayiv in Dmei Vlados. Why is he chayiv? I thought you just told me that a shor is always potter in Dmei Vlados. So says the Gemara, so my time chamarta me'avarta bi'almahu da'azik, damar krosh vulachem poem achamor amadoma lechamor. So the Gemara says like this: when am I potter in Dmei Vlados? When's a shor potter in Dmei Vlados? The shor is potter in Dmei Vlados because the shor is potter if it causes a miscarriage in a pregnant woman. This person who the shor gores and causes the miscarriage in is a shifcha. A shifcha, in a certain sense, we see from the Maisa of Eliezer and Avram, when Avram took Yitzchak up and Yishmael to the Akedah, so he says, Shvulachem po, she said, when Avram took Yitzchak up rather to the Akedah, he says, Shvulachem po ima chamor, ama doma lechamor. So the Gemara says this, the Gemara treats this literally in a sense, and therefore it's as if you're doing damage to an animal, not to a person. In other words, we don't treat this as Dmei Vlados. We don't treat this as a compensation for a miscarriage caused a human being because the damage was done to a shifcha. So there is no kasha on account of Rapapa's statement to the statement of Ravada Barahava. So says the Gemara Vayter, Ketzev Mishalim Dmei Vlados. So how do you assess Dmei Vlados? So says the Gemara, so Dmei Vlados, so what did we say? We had said that it's not as if you, or at least according to the Tanakhama, Rav Shimon Gamliel argued, but according to the Tanakhama, you don't simply assess the value of the fetus. What you do is you assess the value of the woman before she gave birth, the value of the woman after she gave birth. Presumably she's worth less after the miscarriage, and that damage, that differential, is the Dmei Vlados. But says the Gemara, that's not Dmei Vlados, that's not the value of the Vlad, that's Shvach Vlados mi boile. That is the Shvach Vlados, that's an enhanced value on account of the Vlad, but it's not Dmei Vlad, it's not the worth of the Vlad, it's the enhancement to the value of the woman. So you're calling it the wrong thing. Instead of calling it Dmei Vlados, you should be calling it Shvach Vlados. Why would the woman be more valuable? So she would be more valuable potentially for two reasons. Number one, because when the woman is pregnant, she looks more robust and she looks a little bit healthier. Number one. Number two, because if you're selling her as a maidservant, you could see, you could understand Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel and why his view is that the woman is worth less, because you could work her only in a less taxing manner physically, but also if you buy her, you know that ultimately she's going to give birth to kids, and those kids will be your servants as well. So you could see why maybe you would pay a premium, in fact, for a pregnant maidservant. But says the Gemara, that's not Dmei Vlados, that's Shvach Vlados. So Chanami Kamar, so you're right, says the Gemara in Chanami, Kesa Mishalim Dmei Vlados, Ushvach Vlados. How do we pay Dmei Vlados and Shvach Vlados? So we value the woman, how much she was worth before the miscarriage, how much she was worth after the miscarriage, and that differential is the Dmei Vlados, i.e. the Shvach Vlados, that you would have to pay to the woman's husband. The Rishonim point out that this Shvach Vlados, or Dmei Vlados, is only one of the forms of damage that you would have to pay. So for example, if you are in a fight and you hit a woman and you cause a miscarriage, yes, you have to pay this Dmei Vlados. What if you also give her a busted eye socket or something? So the Rishonim say, to the extent you cause other damage, then you have to pay regular nezek. This is only talking about the damage that you're causing on account of the miscarriage. It's not the exclusive type of damage that you would have to pay, of course, if you harm a woman physically when you're involved in an altercation with somebody else. Says the Gemara Vayter, four lines down from where the lines get wide. So Amar Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel, Im Kain, Meshe Isha Yeledes, Meshabeches. So my Kamar. So what exactly is Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel saying, Sama Rabba Haki Kamar, Vechi Isha Meshabachas Kodem Shetelet Yosem El Achar Shetelet. So Rabban Shimon Gamliel is questioning the premise that there's a devaluation to the woman on account of the fact that she's now miscarried. So says Rabban Shimon Gamliel, is the woman worth more before she gives birth than after she gives birth? Balo Isha Meshabachas Lachar Shetelet Yosem Mikodem Shetelet. A woman is worth more after she gives birth than she was before she gives birth, because nobody would want to buy a pregnant shifcha, because you can't give her hard labor around the house. And we value people for the purpose of nezikin damage based on how much they're worth on the slave market. And the fact is that nobody wants a pregnant maidservant. So Ela Shaman es Avlados, therefore Rabban Shimon Gamliel says that if you want to capture any loss here, if you want to capture any damages, you're not going to be able to value the woman at these two points in time. Rather, shamanis of vlados venosin labal, you value the vlados, you value the actual vlad, and you give that payment to the baal. So tani nami hachi v'chi isha meshabachas kodem shetelet yoser melachar shetelet. We have a brisa that says like that. Is a woman worth more before she gives birth than after she gives birth? Balo isha meshabachas la'achar shetelet yoser mikodem shetelet. Ela shamanas avlados venosin labal. So same thing. So Rav Amar hachitani v'chi isha lemisha yolda meshabachas. Rava says no. We're not questioning when the woman is worth more. What we're saying is we're questioning the premise that you're making the dmei vlados payment only to the husband. It's because we're assuming that you have to make that payment entirely to the husband. So says Rava Amar Haki Kamar, v'chi isha lemi sheyoledes mishabachas vein la'atzma b'shvach vlados klum, that can it be that the woman has no share in the enhanced value of her own body? How could that be that the whole payment of the enhanced value attributable to the pregnancy goes to the man? I mean, okay, so the man is involved, obviously, but the entire value goes to the man? So, ela shamanes avlados venosin labal. Rather, you value the vlados, and the vlados, the value of the actual vlados, that you give to the baal, because there's a xeris akasov that the baal gets the demei vlados, that the baal is entitled 100% to the demei vlados. Ushvach vlados, however, the shvach vlados, again, what shvach vlados? As we said a couple of minutes ago, shvach vlados is the enhancement to the value of the woman on account of the fact that she's now in a state of being pregnant. She's more robust, she's expanded. Again, we have to remember the paradigms in the times of the Gemara were different, and she looks healthier. Okay, so that value, in fact, is divided, because that value is an enhancement to the physical being of the woman, and therefore it's not mistaber that the husband gets 100% of the enhancement on account of the enhancement to the woman herself. So Tanya Nami Hachi, so we have a brisa that says similarly, Amar Rabban Shimon Gamliel v'chi isha lemisha yeladas mishabachas. Is a woman's value enhanced only for the benefit of the person for whom she's giving birth? Vein la'atzma b'shvach vlodos klum, and she has no share in the shvach vlodos at all. That can't be. Elishamen nezek b'fnei atzmo, b'tzar b'fnei atzmo. That you evaluate nezek b'fnei atzmo and tzar b'fnei atzmo, so that you have to pay to the woman. B'shamen es avlados, and then you assess the vlados v'nosen labal, and you give that to the baal. We have exeris akosov that you give that to the baal. B'shvach vlados chalken, and the shvach vlados, the enhancement of the value of the woman on account of her state of being pregnant, that value they divide. So kasha de Rav Shimon Gamliel ad Rav Shimon Gamliel, but now we have a kasha Rav Shimon Gamliel on Rav Shimon Gamliel, because Rav Shimon Gamliel in this brisa talks about dividing the shvach vlados, which presumably is the enhanced value of the woman on account of the fact that she's pregnant. Yet in our Mishnah, Rav Shimon Gamliel had said that the woman is worth more after she gives birth than before she gives birth. So according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, as his shita is conveyed in the Mishnah, there shouldn't ever be any such thing as shvach vlados, any enhancement to the value of the woman on account of her pregnancy, because Rav Shimon Gamliel says that she's worth more after she gives birth than before she gave birth. So says the Gemara, Lo kasha kan b'mavkeres, kan b'sheina mavkeres. There's a distinction between whether she's carrying her firstborn child or whether she's carrying any subsequent children. As follows, when she's carrying her firstborn child, in that case, she's worth more after she gives birth than before she gives birth, because we're not sure whether she's going to make it through the pregnancy and survive the pregnancy. Therefore, because pregnancy back then was a very dangerous proposition, we don't know how she'll react. Therefore, if she's carrying her firstborn, she's going to be worth more after she gives birth than before she gives birth. Once she's established herself as being capable of surviving a pregnancy, then there is going to be some enhancement to her physical value on account of her expansion and the fact that she looks more robust. And therefore, for subsequent children, she's going to be worth more before she gives birth than after she gives birth. So there is no stira between Rabban Shimon Gamliel's shita and the Braisa and his shita and the Mishnah. Rabbanan, the Amri Shvach Vlados, Nami Labal, Mai Taima. Now, according to the Rabbanan, who say, so this was Rabban Shimon Gamliel, who said that the woman gets to keep half of the Shvach Vlados, and the man gets the entirety of the Dmei Vlados, of the actual value of the fetuses, of the miscarried fetuses. But how about the Chachamim who say that Shvach Vlados also goes to the Baal? That the enhancement of the value of the woman on account of her pregnancy, the physical enhancement, goes to the Baal. Why is that the case? My taima, kidithnan, mi mashma shenemar v'yotsu yilodea, eini yodea shei hara. From the fact, again, let's read the pasuk, v'chinotsu anoshem v'nogfu isha hara, and they hit instead, they push instead a pregnant woman, v'yotsu yilodea. So the Gemara is commenting that the word hara, the fact that the woman is pregnant, is unnecessary for the pasuk to tell me that, because the pasuk is telling me about causing a miscarriage. So if you're causing a miscarriage, you obviously hit somebody who's pregnant, because if she wasn't pregnant, you wouldn't be causing a miscarriage. So says the Gemara, mashma shenemar v'yatsu yiladea in yadea shei hara, from the fact that it says v'yatsu yiladea, don't I know already that she's pregnant? Malta malomar hara, why does the pasuk tell me that she was pregnant? Lomar lecha shvach hirayon labal, to teach me that not only does the shvach vlados go to the baal, but also the shvach hirayon, also the shvach, her physical value enhancement on account of the fact that she was pregnant, also goes to the baal. Rabban Shimon Gamliel, hai hara mai darish bei. Now, what does Rabban Shimon Gamliel learn out from the word hara? Because he says, Taka, that the shvach hirayon is divided between the husband and the wife. So what's he going to learn from the word hara? So miboyle lechadatanya, we need that for the following. Rabbi Lazar ben Yaakov Omer, liolam einachayev atche yakena keneged beis ha-hirayon. That you're only chayev if you strike the woman opposite the womb. So Amara Papa Lotema Kenega Besarayom Mamish, it doesn't mean that you're only chayev if you strike the woman in the womb. And La Kolecha de Solik Bay Shikma Levlad. It's if you strike the woman any place where the heat of the blow, where the reverberations from the blow reach the Vlad. La Fuke Yad Varegel Delo. It comes to exclude if you kick the woman or if you hit the woman on her extremities, then you're not going to be chayev for causing a miscarriage, because you're only chayev for causing a miscarriage if you hit the woman somewhere in her core, somewhere in her torso. But if you hit her in the extremities, you're not going to be chayev. So that's what Rabbi Shimon Gamliel learns from the mention hara. It doesn't teach me that the Baal gets 100% of the shvach vlados. In fact, Rashbag says that they split the shvach vlados. What does it teach me? It teaches me that you're only chayev for this type of payment if you're hitting her in her core, but not if you're hitting her in her outer extremities. Okay, says the Mishnah, says the Gemara rather weiter. Haisa shivcha v'nishtachra ogiyores pater. Then we said that if the woman who you hit and caused a miscarriage in is either a shivcha who was freed or a giyores, then you're going to be pater made dmei vlados. Sama rabba lo shanu ela shechaval ba b'chayi ager umeis ager. Well, and we had explained in the Mishnah, that this is not intended to give license to somebody to go around causing miscarriages to emancipated maidservants or to a giyores. What we're talking about is a giyores who is married to a ger, a shivcha mishachreres who is married to an eved mishuchrar, their husbands are dead, and we know that the Dmei Vlados payment is made to the Baal. We said that if there is no Baal, it's paid to his Yorshim, but these people don't have Yorshim. A Ger doesn't have Yorshim. And therefore, if there's no husband around, then you don't have to make the payment at all. So with that as background, so Amar Rabba, so says Rabba, Lo Shanu Ela Shechavo Babachaya Geru Meis Ager, that this halacha only applies where the chavala, where the damage occurred during the lifetime of the ger, and then the ger dies. The kiva the chavala babachaya ger zochabu ger, that since the damage was done to the woman during the lifetime of the ger, while the ger was still alive, he was zocha in the dmei vlados that should have been paid to him. The kiva dmei sager, and since the ger dies, he doesn't have any yarshim zochabu menager. Then you, the mazik, you're zocha in that damages payment from the ger, so to speak, and therefore you're potter from making the Dmei Vlados payment. However, if you cause the damage after the death of the ger, then zachila ihi begavayu, umachayev lishlume la lidida, then she is zocha to the Dmei Vlados payment because she's still pregnant. There's no husband to be zocha because he's already dead. He's out of the picture. She's zocha, and even though she was married to a ger who's dead, you still have to pay it to the woman. So Amar Rav Chista, Mari Dichi, Atu Vlados, Tarininu V'Zachibu, says Rav Chista, are we viewing Dmei Vlados? Are we viewing these Vlados like little bundles of money? That if there is no Baal, then the woman is zocha to the bundle of money on account of the Vlados? No. Ela Asyla Baal Zochale Rachman. Again, we've been saying the whole shiur. The fact that the Baal gets Dmei Vlados, that's a Gzeiras HaKosev. So when was the Torah gozer that you have to make a Dmei Vlados payment? If there's a husband around, Zochale Rachmana, Lesei Labaal, lo. And if there is no husband around, then there is no Dmei Vlados payment. It's not like you're going to tell me, well, if there's a husband, then it goes to the husband. And if the husband's out of the picture already at the time when the damage was inflicted, then it goes to the wife. No, Dmei Vlados is a Gzeiras HaKosev. It goes only to the husband. If there is a husband, it goes to the husband. If there is no husband, it goes to no one. So it's not as if when the husband's out of the picture, it goes to the wife. So says the Gemara, Meisvei, So frak the Gemara Akasha, Hika se isha v'yatsu yiladeh, if a person hits a woman and causes a miscarriage, no se nezek v'sar le'isha, he pays the nezek and the tzar to the woman, if it's dmei vlados labal, and he pays the dmei vlados to the baal. Eina baal, no se liyarshav, if there is no husband, then you give it to the yarshav. Eina isha, no se liyarshav, if there is no woman around, then you give the nezek and the tzar payment to her yarshav. Haisa shivcha v'nishtachra o giyores, if she was a shivcha shenishtachra or a giyores, zocha, then she's zocha. Then she's zocha to the Dmei Vlados payment. So we see that the woman is zocha to the Dmei Vlados payment if there is no husband. So says the Gemara, what kind of question do you think this is? Umiya difa mimas nisin, is this raya, is this purported raya any stronger than the purported raya from our Mishnah? Du kimna shechavo b'b'chai yager,
We
could distinguish between situations where the damage was inflicted before the husband died versus where the damage was inflicted after the husband died. Or we could say, or we could say it's la'achar misa sager, that the damage was inflicted after the misa sager. And what does it mean, zocha? What does it mean that he is zocha in the Dmei Vlados payment? So not that he's zocha in the Dmei Vlados payment, rather, she is zocha in the Dmei Vlados. She is zocha in the Dmei Vlados payment. Tosfos points out over here in the top Tosfos that we're not actually saying to amend the word in the Braisa from zocha to zachsa, but zocha means zocha mi sheyesh lo schus. That we don't even necessarily have to change the word in the Braisa. Zocha is just a general statement that means whoever has rights is zocha. Who has rights when the husband's not around? So it could be that the woman has rights. So it's no kasha either way from this Braisa. So lema katanoi, let's say that it's a machlokas tanam, however. Bas Yisrael shenisayis leger. Let's say if you have a Bas Yisrael, a regular Bas Yisrael who's married to a ger, v'nis abra mimenu, she gets pregnant from him, v'chaval ba, and then she's damaged, b'chaya ger, while the ger is still alive, no saying d'mei v'lados leger, you give the d'mei v'lados leger, la'achar misa sager, if she gets pregnant, the ger dies, and then she's harmed, then tani chada chaya v'tani chada pater. One Mandi Amar says, you're chayev to pay d'mei v'lados. The other Mandi Amar says, you're putter from paying d'mei v'lados. So my love, Tanoi Ninu. So isn't this the machlokas Tanoam, that one Mandi Amar says that you're chayev to pay d'mei v'lados because if there is no husband, then you have to make the payment to the woman. The Mandi Amar who says that you're putter from making d'mei v'lados says that when there is no husband, you don't have to pay it to the woman because the only xeras hakosov was that you pay it to the husband. And if there is no husband, then you're off scot-free. So says the Gemara, the Rabba Vada Tanoi, that according to Rabba, it's definitely a machlokas Tanan, because Rabba can't explain otherwise the Mandi Amar who says that you're putter from paying. Because Rabba had said that if there is no husband, then you have to pay it to the woman. So if there's a Mandi Amar who says putter, there is no reason why you wouldn't pay it to the woman. It has to be that there's another Mandi Amar who says that when there is no husband, that when there is no husband, you don't have to pay the woman. So Rabba can only explain this as a machlokas Tanan. But according to Rav Chista, is it necessarily a machlokas tanam lokasha harabanan harav shem gomam liel? That the machlokas is between the chachamim and Rabban Shimon Gamliel. In other words, what we could be taught, remember what we said on the previous Amud, what we said on Amud Aleph, was we distinguish between a case of Dmei Vlados and Shvach Vlados. That Rabban Shimon Gamliel said that by Shvach Vlados, the enhancement to her value on account of her physical expansion and robustness, that's split between the husband and the wife, between the man and the woman. The Chachamim were cholek, and the Chachamim said, no, just like Dmei Vlados goes to the husband, so too Shvach Vlados goes to the husband. Says they were kasher from this brisa. No, there's not necessarily a machlokas anam. This could be reflecting the machlokas, the Rabbanan, and Rabban Shimon Gamliel, lagabe Shvach Vlados. So says the Gemara, well, e Rabban Shimon Gamliel, not really, because what did Rabban Shimon Gamliel said? Rabban Shimon Gamliel had spoken about Cholkin, about how the husband and the wife divide Shvach Vlados, meaning that the wife has a chelek of the Shvach Vlados even when the husband is still alive, even during his lifetime. So e Rabban Shimon Gamliel might ayri la'achar misa avila mechayim nami yisle palga, that even when the husband's alive, she still has half of the Shvach Vlados. So says the Gemara, you're right, even when the husband's alive, she has half. Bechayim isle palga la'achar misa kule. Maybe that when the husband's alive, they split the Shvach Vlados. However, once the husband is dead, once he's out of the picture, what happens then? Do you have to pay the woman only chatzi Shvach Vlados? No, then you would pay the woman all of the Shvach Vlados. V'ba'aseima hava Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Or maybe we can answer, now that we've come on to this, maybe we can answer that both brises are even going like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Kam b'Shvach Vlados, kam b'Dmei Vlados. So one is talking about Shvach Vlados, one is talking about Dmei Vlados. Again, the whole shiur today, we have been saying that there's a distinction between Dmei Vlados, where the Xeris HaKosef goes to the husband, and Shvach Vlados, which they split. Or if there is no husband, then the woman gets all of it. So why do we have one brisa that tells me that if there is no husband around, you're off the hook, another brisa that tells me that if there is no husband around, it goes to the wife? Well, because Lagabe Dmei Vlados, if there is no husband around, you're off the hook. Lagabe Shvach Vlados, if there is no husband around, it goes to the wife. So says the Gemara, Amri Mishvach Vlados, Lishma Dmei Vlados. But from Shvach Vlados, I should learn out the halacha of Dmei Vlados. Umin Rav Shimon Gamliel, Lishma L'Rabbanan. So, and from Rav Shimon Gamliel, I should learn out the Shita of the Rabbanan. In other words, why would I think to distinguish here among the halacha between Shvach Vlados and Dmei Vlados, from Shingam Liel and the Rabbanan, why all these distinctions? So says the Gemara, so Amrila, Shvach Vlados to Shaychi Yada Begavayu Zachya Behu Bekulu. Why? Because Shvach Vlados, where she has a chelek in the Shvach Vlados, if there is no husband around, and the husband is the one who otherwise is getting the second half of the Shvach Vlados payment, when there is no husband, it's mistaber that she gets the entire payment. But Dmei Vlados, lo shaychi yodah begavaya lo zachabu klal. However, by Dmei Vlados, where she doesn't have any right to the payment whatsoever. So it's mistaber that if there is no husband around who could get the Dmei Vlados, then that entire payment is forfeited. It does not go to the woman because she otherwise has no chelak in it.
So Rav Yehma Saba asks Akasha to Rav Nachman. Hamachzik b'shtaroshav shel ger. If a person is machzik the shtaros of a ger, mahu. So what's the halacha? So man de machzik b'shtara idaite de arahu de machzik. So if he's machzik on the shtar, does he actually intend to make a chazaka in the field? We're talking about mortgages, effectively, right? We're talking about shtaros that give the ger an entitlement to collect from certain properties belonging to other people. So in the fact that the guy is being machzik in the shtaros of the ger, does he intend to make a chazaka on the underlying properties that are referenced, that are meshubed through the shtaros? Uba'ara holo achzik. And after all, you're trying to make a chazaka, but you're not making a chazaka on these lands by being machzik on the shtar, v'shtar enami lo kana, and you're also not even kona the shtar from the ger, delav daite ashtara, because you never really have in mind to make a chazaka on the paper. The reason that you're making the chazaka on the paper is because you think somehow that's effective to give you a right to the underlying property that is meshubad through the shtar, but you're not making a chazaka on that property, nor are you making a chazaka on the paper, because you're not intending to make a chazaka on the paper. Oh, Dilma daite nami ashtare. So, or maybe you do have in mind to make a chazaka on the shtar. Samar lei animari. So he says, well, why don't you answer me, my master? So he says, v'chilatzer al pitzul chisu utzarech. Well, is it mistaber that he has in mind that he wants to make a chazaka on the shtar? What does he need the shtaros for? What does he need the shtaros to bind his jars, to cover his jars? Samar lei, yeah, lutzer v'lutzer, yes. That is what he's intending. So in other words, when he's being machzik shtaros of shelger, what he intends on doing is he intends on being kone the shtaros for the purpose of using them basically as a bottle cap. But he's not actually kone the underlying property. Samar rabba, mashkona shel Yisrael biyad ger. You have a mashkon of a Jew. Collateral security of a Jew is in the hands of a ger. Umesa ger. And the ger dies. Okay, so you have the mashkon that belongs to the borrower, the security that belongs to the borrower in the possession of the lender ger, and the ger dies. Uba Yisrael acher v'hichzikbo. And then another Jew comes and is machzik. When the ger dies, everything is hefker, so all bets are off. So another Jew comes and is machzik the security that belongs to the other Jew from the possession of the ger. So matziyano semiyado. So we take it from his hands and we give it back to the rightful owner. My taima, keep it the meisle ger, because once the ger dies, pukale shibude, his shibud on this collateral disappears. His shibud on the collateral disappears, and therefore it reverts to the status of being property that is owned by the first Jew, and therefore another Jew can't come and take that property. Mashkono shel ger biyad Yisrael. However, if there's a mashkon, let's say the ger borrowed money from a Jew, and the mashkon belonging to the ger is in the hands of the Jew, umesa ger, and then the ger dies, ubo Yisrael acher v'chzikbo, and another Yisrael comes, and another Jew comes and tries to be machzik the collateral that the ger posted in the hands of the Jew. So kana zekana kenegemosa v'zekana sashar. Now, the lender, the Jewish lender who had loaned the goy money, and the ger money rather, in exchange for which the mashkon was posted, he gets to keep up to the value of his loan, because the shibud in it does not disappear when the ger dies. However, the overage, to the extent that the collateral is worth more than the value of the loan, that overage does go to the benefit of the other Jew who grabbed the item. Because the shibud doesn't disappear, you can't destroy the shibud, but the overage does go to the other guy. Vamai, but says the Gemara, why? Tiknilei chatzero, the chatzer of the Jew who's holding the mashkon of the ger should be koned the entire thing. Why can this other Jew be koned at all? D'amar Rav Yossi Rav Chanina, chatzer shaladam konelo shalomi daito, that a chatzer, a kinyan chatzer can be affected even shalomi daito. So Amri, hachav amayaskinan delese, but that the other Jew is not in town. Because kolecha the isa l'diday, because so long as the Jew's in town, di boy makne, matzi konelei nami chatzero. Because if the Jew's in town, to the extent he could have been Kona himself physically, then his chatzar could be Kona on his behalf. But when the Jew is not in town, that if he wanted to affect a kinyan, he cannot have affected a kinyan because he's not there. Therefore, his chatzar is not Kona, either. And the halacha is that, says the Gemara, that the reason that he's not Kona, the reason that the lender is not Kona the entire value of the collateral, is because the collateral was not located in his chatzer. But la halacha, if it was located in his chatzer would work to create a kinyan, even if he was not there physically. So that's the way the Gemara concludes. God willing, tomorrow we'll pick up from the next Mishnah.